Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Three Guys, One Up, a podcast where we talk about all sorts of video games and tech news, which there's a lot of this week. I'm one of your hosts, Keith, sitting here with your other hosts, David and Spencer. What's up, my dudes?
Hi.
Hello.
Well, hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just getting ready to talk about some video games and shit.
I was going to say, what about and shit?
Yeah, there's some of it. Mostly video games this week. So last week, if you'll remember, Spencer and I were talking about some of the state of play. That was last week, right? That was the state of play? Yeah, that happened on like June 2nd or something.
Sure.
Okay. So we talked about the state of play stuff, which I guess is kind of lumped into the summer games event. Today we have a lot of stuff to talk about from Xbox and Bethesda. They just had their games showcase and then the extended games showcase. That's all happened. So we got a lot of stuff going on. Let's get into it. I've got an IGN article here in front of me about the original event. I will link it into our Discord. So if you're listening with us, you can follow along in there with all the information we'll be talking about. A lot of stuff out of Xbox and Bethesda. This is a pretty big event for them, and they've definitely delivered on some and maybe some kind of disappointing stuff as well. So first thing that's on here on this list is a game called Redfall. They've been talking about this one for a while. This is the second time it's been at their showcase, the Xbox and Bethesda showcase. They actually featured a gameplay trailer this time, featuring Layla and her telekinetic abilities, showing some of the other characters that are going to be in this game. And it looks interesting. I don't know. Do you guys watch any of this, the Redfall stuff?
Yeah, I watched the Redfall trailer, and it's interesting.
Yeah, I still don't know what to think about it.
I thought it looked very intriguing. It's an interesting, more classical take on vampires, in a way. Just the way that they're styled, they're very Victorian Gothic, Nosferatu looking. It's kind of cartoony in its style, but not overly so. It's interesting.
Not like childish at all. It does look interesting. The gameplay definitely helped me kind of wrap my brain about more of what it's going to be about, and how it's maybe going to play. Still, I don't know. I guess I'm just on my heels about literally every game coming out these days. So it's tough to get like super hype, even though this is like a fresh IP. It seems pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited to see more about that. There wasn't a date or anything that I saw with it. Did you guys see anything like that?
I did not.
Yeah. I'm guessing we're still a ways out on that. Probably not even 2023, but maybe. So I'll go with that.
I mean, it looks pretty polished what they showed.
Yeah, so that's this is their event, you know. You remember E3s of the past where people show up and they're like, look at our game, and it shows like an one that really comes to mind is like The Division, where they show this incredibly polished gameplay trailer, and then the game actually came out, you know.
Yeah.
So
fair enough.
It's hard to really hype yourself up over even what you see at the event.
Understandable, yeah.
But yeah, there's a few different brand new IPs coming out. I'm going to skip down a little bit to this next one that I want to talk about that I think looks pretty interesting. It's called High on Life.
Uh-huh.
New IP, cartoony looking game Roiland?
Yeah, Justin Roiland.
Roiland is one of the creators of Rick and Morty.
The developer is called Squanch Games.
That's great. I like that. this was a fun little trailer. It's going to be an FPS. It's going to be goofy. It's going to be fun. This is one that I can maybe get on board with just from the little bit that we saw. You know, I like the names attached to it. I like the goofiness that comes along with it, but we'll still have to see what actual gameplay looks like, right?
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, that aside, this one I'm hyped for. This one looks really fun. It gives you a lot of Rick and Morty vibes.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way.
A lot of good characters, you know. It's not gonna be Rick and Morty, obviously, but we're gonna get the similar level of, I don't know, fun, goofy cynicism and rudeness out of these characters that they're developing. I'm guessing that's Roiland's involvement is doing a lot of writing and character development, which
I'm sure, world building, etc.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I think that's really cool. What else is a new IP? I don't know if there's many others. That was one that I really wanted to talk about, because that's going to be something fresh and different that, you know, it feels like everything's either a remake or a reboot or a sequel these days. So when you get something like fun and fresh like that, that really does get me excited.
Valheim is coming to Xbox.
Yeah, it is.
I thought that was very exciting. This is more newish IP. It's new to Xbox.
Very true. The game's been out for like what, 2 years now?
Yeah, something like that. And they're always expanding. So I mean, it's
I like Valheim, and I think it's great that they're branching out. It's games like these that I don't know. For me personally, they don't translate well onto controller and console for me. The building mechanics and stuff are always wonky. That in a game that, like, that's a lot of what you're doing is crafting and building and such. You know, I tried my hand at even like Minecraft on the Switch, and I couldn't do it. Stuff like that is very much a PC game for me. But for people that it isn't, that don't have a PC, that are really into the building and creating on console, this is a great game. And it's small, you know, not in size, like in world size, but it's not going to take up 120 gigs on your Xbox. It's going to take up what, like 800 megs or something like that. It's small. And it really is great. It's a great game.
I'm gonna give it a shot. Hopefully it translates well, because I love Valheim, and I do prefer the controller and the console. So I'll give it a shot. I'm excited.
Nice. Yeah. While we're on the same bead, I guess. Grounded got an official announcement. For its release, coming later this year, I believe. Let me scroll down and find it.
Wait, so this, what I'm, this IGN article read weird. It said the official launch date is coming this September. So yeah,
it's leaving early access.
They're going to announce the launch date in September. They gave us an announcement for the announcement.
I guess. I don't know. That is kind of funny wording. I'm guessing what they're trying to say is that it will be leaving. Yeah, what I'm seeing is Grounded is finally leaving early access on September.
Okay.
So it's getting a release date in September, so hopefully it'll be more feature rich and complete by then. I know that you've been kind of dabbling in that recently.
I haven't explored the most recent edition, the termite mound, just because those fuckers are tough and they gang up. So I gotta gear up a little bit better. But I'm having fun, and I did just kind of stumble upon the giant barren under construction portion of the upper yard, just to the right of the tool shed as you're looking at it.
September doesn't feel that far away for them.
It's definitely not.
Yeah, for them to have, I don't know. I hope they're not just like, well, this game's been out 2 years. We need to give an official release date. So they're just going to kind of hammer it in. We'll see. Because it's been a while since I played it, but it was still pretty buggy. I fucking hate the building in that game. Like the building mechanics are not good, and I just want to build stuff out of leaves and sticks and stuff.
they made it better with the last update. Hopefully they make it better still with the full release.
Right. Yeah, and that was yet another example. I tried on Xbox, and I couldn't do it on my controller. I'm just so much more fluent on survival building games on a mouse and keyboard that, I don't know, it's like playing Halo since Halo 1 on Xbox and then trying to get it on your PC. It just, you can't flip-flop back and forth with some games, you know? But, yeah, that's good to get an actual release date on that one, because it is a pretty cool game. Obsidian's been working on it a long time too, so they need to move on. They need to work on a new fucking game. All right, what else we got? There's so much going on in this event. Riot Games announced that they're gonna have some of their biggest titles coming to Xbox Game Pass, which was interesting to me because their titles are free. So what does that actually mean? I guess what it means is you're going to get some free content out of them. So a lot of the locked agents or champions or cards or whatever it is that normally you would have to purchase through either playing the game or putting money into the game, they will have some of that stuff available for free through Xbox Game Pass. Which is pretty sweet, you know, like getting these games and these characters into the hands of people who are paying for a subscription is a good idea. This branches Riot Games out a little bit more as they bring in their new IPs, like their fighting game and stuff, which are going to be huge for consoles. Those are console games, you know.
So what games are coming? What did they
say? Like, League of Legends, Wild Rift, Valorant, Legends of Runeterra, and Teamfight Tactics. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Wild Rift was developed for mobile and probably more controller fluent gaming. It'll be interesting to see how they do something like that with League of Legends. I don't know if they're going to have to, what they're going to do with that. And what the population is going to be like on something like Game Pass, you know, their population on PC is obviously huge, but is it going to take you 15 minutes to get into a game on Xbox? You know,
I'm pretty sure these are staying on PC. At least a lot of the game, like my guess would be Valorant might come to console.
Yeah.
But from what I could tell, TFT, League of Legends, etc., are going to be PC games only? Through Ultimate. Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of thinking they were going to try and get them onto Xbox as well. But you're right. Like, especially games like League of Legends and Teamfight Tactics, especially, it'd be too slow and clunky.
It'd be hard to translate those over.
Wild Rift? I don't know.
Wild Rift, I could see.
Because it was developed for mobile controllers without the keyboard and stuff. So I'm wondering if they might try and get some of these onto console. You know, Legends of Runeterra is a card game. That would be easy enough. And like you said, Spence, Valorant's a first person shooter. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to get that onto an Xbox, you know?
Right. But yeah, aside from that, I think the big thing is it's literally just giving you access to stuff you would otherwise have to pay for.
And that's cool.
Legend eggs and you know, wild cards for Runeterra. I don't know what they're called, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that you just kind of get extra benefit. Like being a Amazon Prime member gets you the League of Legends capsule every month with a bunch of shit inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my guess is it'll be something like that.
That's a good call. That makes a lot more sense than to what I was going on, was thinking they were just going to try and put everything they have onto more consoles, but that would be really tough. So But good for them. Riot is getting bigger and bigger as the minutes tick by. You know, every time I look something else up, they're just blowing up. Riot Games is something else these days, for sure. All right, let's move on. What else do we got? There's a Hollow Knight sequel that's going to be hitting day one Game Pass, which I know a lot of people are going to be excited about. Hollow Knight is a massive game for people that like roguelites. And this one, I don't know. Some about this sequel has a lot of people hype. I saw Twitter just blowing up over this sequel. So
I never played the first one, did you?
I didn't, and I've been told by literally everybody that's played it that I have to, especially if you're into games like Binding of Isaac and stuff like that. This one is supposed to be just amazing story, amazing gameplay. So is the first one on Game Pass?
I think so. At least okay. It was at one point.
I'm guessing, like, if this one's going to be a day one Game Pass drop, I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Developed it. Wasn't it... No, I don't want to say anything before I know.
I don't know. It's not telling me right here.
Team Cherry. Never heard of them.
No, me neither. Well, if you're into Hollow Knight, this is definitely one to check out because it's getting a lot of hype around it. The original Hollow Knight is just... It gets rave reviews all across the board. So I'm going to have to check that out. I'll try and follow up on that as well if I start getting into it. Because it's about time. I mean, if they're going to make a sequel, I should play the first one, right? All right, what else we got? Forza Motorsport. You guys watch anything on this?
I did not see this one.
It is freaking gorgeous.
It does not surprise me. They put so much effort into the Forza games graphically.
Yeah.
Like, they're really trying to use them as their like showcase for what the console can do.
Yeah. A lot of people were saying how Gran Turismo was blowing Forza 5 away in graphics. I think Forza Motorsport came in and was just like, yeah, fuck that, because it it looks incredible. You can completely strip these cars down, see every wire, every valve, everything. Like, it's nuts. It's really quite nuts. And this is probably, I'm guessing this is going to be another day one drop on Game Pass. I don't see why it wouldn't be at this point.
It will, for sure.
So I'm excited about that. I usually don't get excited for these motorsport games because I don't want to buy them. But if I already am a subscriber to Game Pass, then I'm happy. You know, the Horizon games are a lot more up my alley, where it has an MMO feel. It's a little more sandboxy. I can go do a bunch of other stuff. Where these motorsports are, I mean, it's a lot more focused on the cars and what you're and the races, you know.
Yeah,
but we'll see how this one goes. I'll probably stick it on my Xbox day one. I don't see why not.
Might as well, right? If it's free, download it, play it, see if it's up your alley, and if not, uninstall.
Yeah, right. On that same note, more Forza news. Forza Horizon 5 is getting their Hot Wheels DLC coming. When is that happening? In July, so soon.
Yeah, this looks cool. This looks kind of silly, stupid, a lot of fun. I really love the loop the loops, the classic orange track. It's just going to be pretty cool.
It looks great. They're going to have some classic Hot Wheels cars, like you said, the orange tracks and stuff like that. They did this back in Forza Horizon 3, where they had a Hot Wheels DLC that was really great. What was that other game that just got? It was a Hot Wheels game, Unleashed. Was just something released like a month or two ago, and that game looks great. Hot Wheels are pretty hot right now, I guess, for the racing games. And if you've already got Horizon 5, then why not hop on the DLC? I wonder if this is going to be Game Pass available, if they're going to let this linger for people to purchase it, you know? I don't know about the DLC stuff and Game Pass.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that. Hopefully it'll just be like, go for it. Download it.
Yeah. I would love that. I would love if they just included it, because it's brand new. It's a brand new DLC, and I don't know if I've experienced something like this coming out while I've had Game Pass, where if there's an older game that they're bringing to Game Pass that had a bunch of DLC and premium content, usually they stack it, since it's all, everything's completed for the game, they just give you all of that DLC.
Right.
But this is a brand new game and a brand new DLC, so it's, they might just want people to buy it. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on it, see what happens.
Definitely. All right, what else we got? I feel like I'm talking too much. What else do you guys see? Anything that you're super stoked for that you're not very stoked for, you think looks like shit? Like, what's something that you're looking at that you think we got to talk about today?
Oh, man, what else was there?
Let's talk about Starfield.
Yeah, that's one that, yeah, I know.
I've only seen memes about it. I didn't watch the any trailers or anything. So what do you guys think?
You should, because like I'm curious to hear more opinions on it. My first initial reaction was, oh, this looks like a newer version of
No Man's Sky.
Hello Games. Yeah, No Man's Sky. It looked a lot like No Man's Sky, just with better graphics, different ships, stuff like
that's
that.
That's what all the comparisons are. It's No Man's Sky meets Skyrim.
Skyrim, yeah. To me, that's kind of a letdown. What were you going to say, Spence?
I was just going to say pretty much the same thing. Like, it looks just as barren as No Man's Sky did in the beginning. Like, well,
that was another take that I saw. I was reading an article about the author was saying that they fell for it back when Spore was pushing huge scale as a selling point, as a feature of their game.
Right. And didn't that kind of ruin Spore?
Yeah, it really just made Spore be very barren. There was very little to come across.
I saw a thing saying that there's going to be like 1,000 worlds that you can, 1,000 planets in Starfield that you can fully explore, which tells me that it's all procedurally generated bullshit.
Yeah, man,
and
there was 95%
of the game is going to be empty.
There was a Twitch streamer, I forgot which one it was. She was making a comment on that. She was like, I see a lot of people getting hype over having over 1,000 worlds to explore. And she was like, this makes me feel like, I don't have time for that shit. And B, there's going to be 900 worlds that are just barren bullshit nonsense that you're going to land on. Try and find something, don't find anything, skip to the next one and have the same exact experience 9 times out of 10 before you find a world that you actually want to land on and explore.
You know, there was a Terraria-esque game that I played for a while. What was the name of? 2D side scroller, you go and it had procedurally generated worlds, a whole bunch of them, and it was the same thing. It ended up being boring, very monotonous.
Yeah, you can overdo that way too easily. I kind of hate procedurally generated stuff. I know that it's good to be able to cram a bunch of shit in your game and make it feel big, but there's much more to be said for a game where somebody actually sat down and took time to design it and put heart into what it is they were making.
Definitely. I love it when it's good, and when it's bad, it drags the game down so much. We were just talking about Valheim, which is 100% procedurally generated. I think they nailed it. Like, that's a game that you want this kind of scale with, but you don't need it bogging your game down, right?
Procedurally generated is great for roguelikes and stuff like that, but
absolutely
huge scale,
Diablo.
Yeah,
dungeons and smaller things. But I don't want 1,000 worlds all procedurally generated,
right? Yeah.
Because what even is that?
Huge scale is not the huge selling point that these companies are trying to make it, and the public kind of really needs to start equating that huge scale with kind of monotonous, kind of phoned in, procedurally generated. There's no care put into any of that shit.
Right. Like, you look at something as massive as, like, Grand Theft Auto 5 was, and every inch of that landscape, somebody took the time to design.
Yeah.
Right.
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild, absolutely.
Elden Ring.
Like, I was literally just going to bring up Elden Ring, but not quite in that sense, because, again, massive scale isn't always a great thing for your game. In a From Software game, like, I got to the point in Elden Ring where I would get to a boss and fight it a handful of times and then, like, get a little frustrated at it, finally beat it and be like, oh, okay, finally I beat this, and now I only have 498 more bosses to go in this world. Like, it can really be kind of like, well, do I really need to go through every ounce of this world? So it's not just procedurally generated scale that is ruining things. I think these developers think they have to make something so large that it keeps people so involved, but it really ends up being kind of boring and taking away from the game.
Well, and I think that there can be a difference. I think Elden Ring made an attempt to go for huge scale, equated with epicness, right? They're trying to tell this, like, epic story play this epic game. Whereas stuff like procedurally generated worlds don't quite... No Man's Sky tried to go for the epic thing, and they just... It's hard to do that.
No Man's Sky has really turned into a pretty amazing game, too. And yeah, they still use the procedurally generated. You have to really enjoy that style of exploration to really get into that type of game. And it's not for everybody, for sure. But I don't know. Starfield, I feel like they're stretching themselves too thin. I feel like it's going to feel, I don't know, how do you have characters that you care about, like in Fallout and I don't know, even Skyrim, which was huge. Any of these older Elder Scrolls games or anything that they create, that Bethesda creates, usually there's at least a handful of characters that you get invested in. And I don't know how that works in a game like Starfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I don't know how any of that's going to work. And frankly, they've already lost me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm kind of, I don't know, this is a game that I've been pretty excited for. And as more and more has come out about it, it's like, I don't have fucking time for that, man. Like, I don't know. It seems like a large undertaking for any style of gamer. You know, like I said, that streamer I was talking about, she's like, I don't have fucking time for that. This is a video game streamer that spends 8 hours a day playing video games. So I don't know. I don't know who's going to
come on.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm interested to see more coming out of that. But yeah, what else can we really say about Starfield? Watch the trailers. Join our Discord. Tell us what you think. Like, tell us why we're wrong. Tell us why we're right. Tell us to fuck off. Whatever you want to say.
Keith,
oh yeah, fuck off. Thanks. Thank you. But moving on, there's some other big news that I think we need to get to before we wrap up talking about this event. One of the biggest ones that I saw was Hideo Kojima coming out and announcing he has a partnership with Xbox and he is developing a brand new game just for them. He even said, this is a game that I've always wanted to make. So man, that's cool. He also said that about Death Stranding. So, maybe he'll make another running simulator just for Xbox this time. I can't hate too much on that game. I did play it and I enjoyed mindlessly running around that world. And he does create an incredible story. That is something that Hideo Kojima is incredible at, is just world building and story building, and he brings in great actors and great storytellers to do it with him. So this is something to keep an eye on. There's really no other information other than he's doing it.
He's doing it.
What else? You guys got anything else? What's the more big stuff? Did we cover it? Did we do it?
I think we got the big. Anything else? We hit the good points.
Those are some pretty good points. What else was there? Oh, Diablo 4 announced their final class.
Oh yeah,
the Necromancer. It's gonna have cross progression between PC, Xbox One, PS5, PS4, and Switch. So that's a big announcement. I don't know. With the following of Immortal, I gotta say I don't have any hype for this game at all. They're gonna find a way to cram a bunch of shitty monetization into it, even if it's just loot boxes. I'm gonna say, you know what? Fuck you. This not what I play Diablo for. Is to be preyed on for me hounding through my wallet.
Well, and that was one of the first articles that I saw about Diablo 4 was they're promising not to monetize the shit out of this one like they did. And it's like, well, just don't do that with the fucking phone one. And there's no worries to be had, you dickheads.
Yeah, that
like, the reason that people are have this anxiety is because you are doing this. So
yeah, that promise doesn't really ease my, I don't know, being on my heels over this game, because they're preying on these people and making money like fucking crazy off of these whales. Why wouldn't they throw at least I know they're not going to go full Immortal on Diablo 4, but there's going to be something, you know, Real Money Auction House 2.0 or something that is going to get people to spend money.
Every game has it now, so why should we be surprised?
Yeah, that's for sure. Hell, even like a Game Pass or something, a seasonal Game Pass, they already have seasons in D3. It would not surprise me at all if you have to pay $5 per season now or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was going to be my comment. They're just going to do what they did with Diablo 3, which was already unacceptable.
$60 game, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that's it. I think that's all we really need to talk about on the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, unless there's anything else you guys are really dying to talk about.
I don't think so. I think that was about it.
No. I'm actually excited to get to the magic moment this week.
Nice. Well, before we do that, after we wrapped all this up, all the announcements, what are you guys most hyped for off of this event for the summer? No, nothing.
I was waiting for Spencer.
I don't know, man. Like, if I'm being completely honest, all right, there was one trailer that I saw that looks decent enough, and it is coming to Game Pass, and that is Ara: History Untold.
Okay, did you see that one? I remember seeing that, yeah.
Turn-based historical grand strategy game. I'm up for that in the vein of Civilization and that kind of game. So that one looks pretty cool. I'll definitely give that one a shot since it's coming to Game Pass especially.
Yeah.
I'm like I said, I'm really excited for Valheim. Every step forward this game takes is encouraging to me. I'm a big fanboy of it, honestly, and I'm enjoying its development.
Yeah, it's a great game. I don't know. I think High on Life was the best thing I saw out of this. The one that got me
yeah,
the most,
I forgot about that.
The most hyped was probably High on Life. I think that looks just stupid fun, something that you could spend hours or minutes on, and either way, you're going to have a great time. And that's kind of what I'm looking for in my gaming these days.
For sure.
Okay, yeah, well, let's move on. Oh, there was one more thing. Microsoft Flight Simulator, you see this? They're having their 40th anniversary, so they're adding in some new helicopters, gliders, stuff like that. Yeah, along with that, they're putting Halo vehicles in there, so you can fly around in a Pelican.
That's awesome.
In Flight Simulator. I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, that's it. That's all we got. Game show is over. You want to check out some of these highlights? Like I said, there's a link in our Discord. come tell us what your favorite, least favorite, whatever part you want to talk about in our Discord. You'll find that information in the show information. So yeah, let's move on. David, you're excited for a moment. Give it
to us. The huge secret layer drop that happened since we last had a moment. A lot of artist cards, like a whole bunch. So I'm just going to start running through them. Let me know if you guys recognize these artist names, because I haven't. First up, we've got Vulcan Baga.
That would be a name I think I would remember.
Yeah.
Sorry. I remember him. I've seen his art. Yeah.
So we've got an Elspeth, Knight Errant, reprint, Patron Wizard, Berserk, and Verdurin Enchantress. Sometimes you got to sound out these names.
For sure.
Next up, we got Chris Ron. I'm just stumbling over my shit. He gets to paint a Primetime, Primeval Titan, Huntmaster of the Fells, Platinum Angel, and what else? What do we got here?
Kozilek, the Great Distortion.
Yep, that's true.
That's a good one. That's a big one. That's a real nice reprint.
Well, that Platinum Angel's gorgeous. Oh, that was my favorite.
It does. It looks really good. Four.
Next up, we've got Livia Prima. And from her, we've got Akroma, Angel of Wrath, Micaeus, the Unhallowed, Glissa, Sunseeker, and Olivia, Mobilized for War.
That Olivia card looks gorgeous.
My favorite was the Glissa, Sunseeker. I really enjoy it. All four of these.
Yeah, the art on all of them.
So yeah, each one of these secret layer drops is very impressive art, and great cards too. There's not a bad card in this drop. We've also got a couple land drops. We've got Tokyo lands, really gorgeous, one of each basic lands full art to, I guess, give a little bit of taste of Tokyo.
They look really cool too.
Yeah.
One of them's a foil-etched version, which I imagine are going to look absolutely phenomenal.
I see the foil-etched version option now. That's pretty nice.
That sounds hot. How much is that?
$40.
$40.
All for right. Five lands.
$8 a land.
That's pretty rough.
For five lands, even in a standard deck, that you're not pulling those often enough.
this artist's name, goddamn,
talking,
is Kellogg's Loops. He got pushed to the bottom of the list, though.
That's a cereal.
Yeah, that's why I was. So, from Kellogg's Loops, we've got Mystic Remora, Retreat to Coralheim, Burgeoning, and Utopia Sprawl.
The Burgeoning's a pretty nice reprint.
Oh, yeah.
The art looks cool, too.
And then last of the Secret Layer drops, this one's Rule the Room. Is there an explanation for the...
It's all royalty. The characters are all royalty. Brimaz, King of Orescos, Arcanus the Omnipotent, Queen Marchisa, Queen of the Golgari.
Yeah. And they if you guys played Dragon Age 3, the art is very reminiscent of the art in that game.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I like the way it looks. Cool style. Cool drops.
Yeah, we also got a couple spoilers from Double Masters, but these are definitely leaks.
Yeah, I saw that. I think some got slipped into Commander Legends packs, something like that.
So we've got an Ulamog, the Infinite Gyre, and an Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn spoilers. And then as far as the kind of lesser cards, we'll call them, we got Blood Artist, Wall of Omens, Mole Drifter, Bloodbraid Elf, Flicker Wisp. Man, some really great staple reprints here. We got Boros, Ravnica, Dual Lands, Mentor of the Meek, Eternal Witness. Dang, each one of these cards is gold. Anyway, I'm all tapped out.
Very cool. Well, let's move on to some news then. What else you got for us, Spencer? I know we went over like a lot of just new stuff today. So whatever's in the leftover bin, what's in there?
All right. Did you guys check out this trailer for Among Us VR?
I did not. I heard about it, but man, I didn't know there was a trailer. I honestly did not.
I'm linking it. It looks real silly. I'm pretty excited to check this out. This alone was probably a great reason to pick up a Quest or some kind of VR headset, because this looks stupid fun.
This does look fun.
Man, it's coming, that looks great.
Right? It's coming out holiday season, so definitely hoping to get enough people that we could get a VR Among Us going.
I think you and I are the only people I know with a VR headset. Do you have to play? I don't know.
I mean, you can play with a pickup group.
Yeah. I mean, do you have to play VR, or would it just be like a 3D version on your PC? I don't know either.
I would imagine that it has to be separate, like, because it'd be pretty easy, a lot easier to tell if you're playing on PC or phone and someone else is the, like, the imposter on VR.
Yeah. That
it'd
is
probably
true.
Be a lot easier to tell that they're the one.
You are correct.
So that's something, but I still want to play it. It looks cool. Oh, it's here. Let's talk about, did you see the trailer for the new Cuphead DLC?
I did.
Like, pretty stoked for that.
Came right as you beat the game too. So just like reigniting that fury.
I'm ready for it. I want to play it. I'm definitely going to pick this one up. We got a new character to play as, a bunch of new bosses, new abilities, a whole new land, like a whole new area of the map opens up. This is going to be cool.
This is some legit DLC. This isn't just like, hey, play our game again. Like, this is, yeah, this is going to be great content for this game.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm really, really stoked on that. Next week, we got the drop of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah.
Six-player co-op. You can do all four turtles, April O'Neil and Casey Jones.
No shit.
All playable.
I'm about that.
Also, day one Game Pass.
Boom. I'm playing the fuck out of this game.
Yep, that's an immediate. Gonna pick that up, download it. We should all get down with some turtles.
Yeah, let's co-op the shit out of this game.
We finally got a release date for FIFA 22 on Game Pass, Keith.
Oh my god, fuck it, finally. They've been teasing it. They said the 7th, they said the 12th, they said the 15th. It's none of those dates. What date do we got?
23rd.
Fucking too long.
Yeah, that's silly. Too long. So anybody who's into that, that's coming soon, finally. Yeah, that's it. That's the way the news goes.
Very cool. I think there was one more thing that I wanted to bring up, because David shared it in the 3G1UP Discord, that if you're interested in Diablo 4 beta, pre-registration is now open. So there's a link to that in our Discord. Check that out. And yeah, I think that's it. I think that's the show.
Wrap it in, guys.
Let's wrap it all up. Next week, I don't even know what we're going to be. I think we're finally getting out of this games event stuff, so it's going to be a little more back to normal, and not so much just a rush of news. So thank you all for listening. Been a good week. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Go to our website, 3guys1up.com. While you're there, check out our other show. It's called Weekend Watch. We talk about all sorts of fun stuff. Streaming, but to watch, all sorts of shows and movies and the news that comes along with that as well. Also, while you're there at the website, click on the mushroom link. It'll take you to our Patreon. You can give us $5 a month, and we'll keep making podcasts. And yeah, that's it. Thanks y'all for listening. Have a great week. Catch y'all next week. Adios.